You may be seated, and if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And if you are using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 723. God's Word says this: "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are favored, highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled with these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you with the power of the Most High, will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who has said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her." Awesome words. Look forward to hearing how God speaks to our heart through his messenger this morning. God bless you.
Pastor Homer previously read a passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Today we want to look at that passage. But before we get started on that, I want to ask you, have you ever wondered? That song has just suggested, Mary, did you know the impact that your son was going to have on this world? Mary, did you know that he'd walk on the water? That he would heal the blind man? That he would raise the dead? Mary, did you know that the lepers would become clean because of the touch of your son's hand? Mary, did you know that all of mankind would be able to have reconciliation with the God of all creation because of your son? Mary, did you know? Did you understand the potential of that child as you kissed his face? Did you understand that he is God? I sometimes wonder if we understand that he is God. I think sometimes we are so in love with the picture of Jesus that we forget the person of Jesus. I think that sometimes we so forget the fact that there was a purpose for Jesus Christ coming to this earth, and that that purpose would go through a bloody, brutal end, but would bring the amazing gift of salvation to mankind. I think that sometimes we get so caught up in the gentle touch of the hand on the eye healing the blind man that we forget he is also the God who shared in the "let there be's" of all of creation. I think that sometimes we forget who Jesus really is. And I wonder, as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, I want to share with you this morning seven things. I want to share with you the circumstance, the connection, the conversation opener, the confusion, the comfort, the comparison, and the concession. And today I would like us to put ourselves in Mary's place. If this heavenly visitor were to show up at our door, how would we respond? If this heavenly visitor were to declare to us the things that were declared to Mary, would we ultimately say, "Be it done unto me as you wish"? Or would our response just be, "Are you crazy"? Would our response be obedience or stubborn rebellion? Let's look at this passage. First of all, the circumstance. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. In the sixth month, and what the scriptures are referring to here is the fact that Elizabeth, the one who had been barren all of her life and who was well advanced in age, who was old. No offense to anyone here who was 63 or older, because that would put you older than me. No offense to anyone who was that age. But that was the situation. And I'm not sure that any of you here that age or older are planning on starting a family. But that's what happened. You see, just as miraculous as the birth and the pregnancy of a virgin was to come about, was the pregnancy and the birth of one well beyond childbearing years. Elizabeth is in her sixth month of pregnancy when this visitor shows up to Mary. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. You know what? Gabriel wasn't any old run-of-the-mill angel. It's Gabriel that's going to be involved in the call for you and I to leave this world. Jesus will give the shout. Gabriel will blow the horn. Gabriel is involved in unique declarations. And this mission was so important to God that He sent Gabriel. How many times do we read about angels showing up at significant moments and all we hear is an angel, as opposed to how many times do we hear the angel named? That means this is a significant moment. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. And so there's the circumstance. Secondly, I want you to notice the connection. Look at the 27th verse. To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. We often, in that particular verse, we look at, okay, here's the virgin and her name is Mary, and we kind of miss a little bit the connection that is promised. The Old Testament promise that through the line of David would come the Christ. The Messiah would come through the connection with David. Mary's connection was not with David. But Joseph's was. He was a descendant of David. And as Mary and Joseph at this time were engaged or espoused, if you will, in Jewish tradition, they would have been considered legally married by law standards. That's why when we read in another spot about Joseph having questions, oh, here's my fiance, here's my engaged one, here's my betrothed, here is my, what do I do? Do I divorce her and put her away privately? What do I do? What do I do? You see, breaking an engagement back then was not the same thing as breaking an engagement today. You didn't just go up to the one that you were going to marry and say, by the way, that ring that I gave you promising that I would marry you and that I would love you and that I would be with you the rest of my life, give that back. And it's all done. See, it wasn't that way. When there was an espousal that took place at that time, it was as they are already joined for their lives. And the only thing that could separate them, an engagement, the only way that an engagement could be broken or a betrothal could be broken was through the process of divorce. And that's why Joseph's going, do I divorce her? Well, that becomes an issue, you see. Because if Joseph follows through on his plan or his wondering, do I divorce her? Then the connection to David is gone. That's why God says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take her on as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That was God's way of comforting David and saying, hey, or Joseph and saying, hey, she hasn't been unfaithful to you. She has been honorable. And I'm sure that the conversation came up between the Lord and Joseph in saying, go back to Isaiah. You know, where Isaiah said, and behold, a virgin shall conceive. Joe, this is it. This is that moment. And as the two of you have become engaged, as the two of you have become betrothed together, you have become one, because that's my concept of a man and a woman in marriage. The two shall become one. Joe, you are the connection to the Old Testament prophecy. Mary is the prophesied virgin. Joseph is the prophesied line of David. You see, folks, God considered all of these things in working out the fulfillment of his plan that he declared before the world was ever formed. Number three, I want you to notice the conversation opener that takes place here. We see it in verse 28. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." When was the last time? When was the last time that you were in your home or maybe out in the garage and an angel showed up and said, "Hail, O favored one"? When did that happen last in your house? You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. It hasn't happened in ours. It really hasn't. But what would you think if that heavenly being stood before you and said, "Hail, favored one." I'll bet you would think, just like Mary, "I'm a little scared. I'm a little concerned about this." But you see, that is the greeting that Gabriel brings to Mary. "Hail, favored one." You know, when you stop to think, Mary, who was obscure, she wasn't on The Voice. She wasn't on Dancing with the Stars so that everyone could see who she was. She wasn't connected to the president in any fashion. I mean, Mary was a common individual. But she was uncommon in the fact that she had kept herself pure morally, but even more importantly, spiritually. It's the way that God works. In bringing about the miracles that He brings about in this life, He doesn't do that through the immoral and the impure. He does it through the redeemed. He does it in miraculous ways. And that's the way that God works. We should all desire to be like Mary. Pure before God. Pure before man. Always. Always, always wanting to serve God no matter what He asks you to do or me to do. What's God asked you to do? Do you have that neighbor that doesn't know the Lord, and has the Lord been impressing upon you, "This person needs to be communicated to about my son"? Are you willing to do it? You'll notice as you come down to the very final verse that we read this morning, that 38th verse, Mary says, "Hey, be it unto me as you've declared. Be it unto me as you've declared." Now look at what she was facing. Shame. Humiliation. Possible death, or at least seclusion. Because if Joseph had gone through with what he was going to do, if he did that publicly, Mary could have faced the death penalty. Because that would have been adultery. And adultery was punishable by death in Jewish society. You remember the situation? You've got the scribes and they're bringing the woman to Jesus who has been caught in adultery, in the very act of adultery. They said, "What do we do with her?" It's interesting. Caught in the act of adultery. They only bring one of the ones committing the adultery. But nonetheless, they bring her caught in the very act. What do we do with her? Jesus says, "What's your law say?" And they say, "Stone her." By the way, when they declared stone someone, that didn't mean give them marijuana. All right? Not that kind of stoning. And they were not thinking, "Bruise her till she cries." They're meaning, "Stone her till she dies." You see, that's the penalty of adultery. That's what Mary would be facing. There was a lot at stake. And yet, Gabriel comes in and says, "Hail, favored one. You have been uniquely chosen by God for a unique event." Just happened to be watching Fox News the other day, and they had one of those silly little, what do I want to call it, polls that have been taken. And do you know that 1% of unwed teenage mothers claim to have never had sex? 1%. Apparently, they're trying to say there's a lot of these virgin births. But that's not true. You see, that's what makes Mary so unique. Because she was going to carry the Son of God. She was going to be the vessel through whom God in physical presence entered this world. She was to be the carrier of the Christ, the one who would die for all mankind's sins, the one who would be able to offer life and freedom from the power of sin and from its penalty. You see, this conversation opener kind of struck Mary, and especially as he says, "The Lord is with you." Now let's look at the fourth thing. I want you to notice the confusion. Look at verse 29. "But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be." She kept pondering. She kept thinking, "What is this? What is this? Here is this heavenly being standing before me and giving me this declaration that the Lord is with me, that I am a favored one." Remember, she is a common girl with an uncommon love for God. But nonetheless, a common girl. And special enough that heaven sends a representative to speak with her directly. And she ponders this, and she wonders, what is this all about? And in her mind, that indicates there's a little confusion here. Why? And I wonder what her pondering was. Why me? Why now? Why this task? Why this calling? Why this meeting? She kept pondering these things. She was greatly troubled at this statement. You know, the truly humble individual is always troubled at the call of God. Am I worthy? Am I going to be able to do what God wants me to do? Am I going to be faithful to the chore? Am I equipped to perform what God is asking? And you see, often during these times when God calls and wants a special thing from us. We forget that what he calls, he will equip. What he asks us to do, he will supply everything we need. He simply wants us to be his vessel to flow through. What's God asking you to do? Is it go to that neighbor? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What God is calling you to do, he will equip you to accomplish. Notice number 5, the comfort that is brought out in verses 30 through 33. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. And he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Mary, don't be afraid to go through this process. Because the one that you will be bringing into this world is the very King of Kings that Ezekiel praised, is the very Lord of Lords that Isaiah declared. He is the very God of heaven referred to by Jeremiah. He is the one who would come when God referred in the Garden of Eden to Eve that the Messiah would come, that Satan might be able to bruise his heel, but that he would crush the head of Satan. This is the God of gods. Mary, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. He is the one. How comforting those words must have been. The next thing is, look at the comparison. Verses 34 through 37. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" That's a very simple, honest question. That's not a question of doubt. It's a question of how. How is this going to transpire? And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth," here's a comparison, "has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." Now here it is, "for nothing will be impossible with God." Nothing will be impossible with God. What is God asking you to do? Nothing will be impossible with God. Where is he asking you to go? Nothing will be impossible with God. Who is he asking you to see? Nothing will be impossible with God. We should take those words so seriously and realize that God will go with us. And all things are possible with God. The comparison, Elizabeth, well beyond childbearing age, Mary, you shall be overshadowed by the power of God, and the conception that takes place in you will be of God himself. Old age is no problem. Virginity is no problem. For with God, all things are possible. I want my son to to be brought into this world. And I'll overcome any barrier to do that. Then look at the concession. Verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary immediately submitted herself to the call of God. I'll be honest with you. I wish that we would submit ourselves to the call of God as immediately as Mary did. As soon as God asks us to do something, I wish we'd do it. Not put it off till another day, just do it. I wish we could become Nike Christians. Just do it. I encourage you, when God speaks to you about anything, just do it. For He is always right. He will empower you. He will fill you with His direction, His wisdom, His discernment, His grace, His power, His authority. He will accomplish in and through you everything He calls you to do. So don't be afraid. Just concede. God, I am yours. Let me be your bond servant. And I'll do what you want me to do. You know, I'm grateful that Mary was submissive to God. I really am. Not that God couldn't have raised up somebody else, He would have. But she was blessed because she was obedient. Parents, you are blessed. If God is trusting you with the raising of His children, you are blessed. Be faithful. Let God work through you in the raising of those children. Can you imagine the heaviness of the burden of Mary to be mothering the God of the universe? Wow. Mary, did you know that when you kissed His face, you were kissing the face of God? Let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank you. Thank you again for the great plan of salvation that you established before this world was ever formed. Father, thank you again that you sent your Son Jesus because no one else could be worthy. Father, thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit, for He indwells us when we receive Christ. He fills us when we submit fully and completely. He empowers us and equips us to be able to do the work of ministry in whatever realm of ministry you ask us to be involved in. And Father, that's all possible because of your plan and the indisputable truth of your word. Now, Father, as we, as families and as friends and as a church, celebrate Christmas, may we take a moment to thank you and to be filled with that sense of awe and amazement as to why we celebrate. Now, Lord, please watch over us the remainder of this day. Fill us with hope and grace, and we'll give you thanks and praise. For it's in your awesome and incredible name we pray. Amen.